I'm Harold Lim. This is a work in collaboration with Aman Kansal and Jie Liu from Microsoft Research. So as a motivation, there is a significant concern for power, the cost of power in data centers. And there are actually two types of costs that can be attributed to power in data centers. So one is the consumption cost, and then the other one is the provisioning cost. And our work addresses the provisioning cost. So provisioning cost is the cost of supplying or provisioning power to the infrastructure generator and the backup UPSs that is part of your data center. And as you can see from the chart here, the amortized monthly cost of provisioning power is actually can be much higher than the consumption cost in a large data center. And what people should do is they address the provisioning cost through peak power management. And to reduce the provisioning cost, what data center operators do is they use oversubscription. And if you look at the figure here, as you can see, the rated peak is never reached. And the possible peak, which is the sum of the server peak power consumption, is actually very high than your actual power consumption of your data center. So if you simply provision power for the rated peak or even for the possible peak, there will be a lot of wasted costs that you have to pay. So with oversubscription, what people do is they allocate power at a much lower value than your possible peak. But if you look at the example workload power consumption in the figure, what you can see is that there will still be cases that their power consumption might exceed the allocated capacity. So what people do to ensure that oversubscription is safe is that they do power capping. But modern data centers now uses virtualization technology. What this means is that existing hardware power capping method now simply falls short or is inadequate. This because, like, if you look at the figure here, in a virtualized setting, servers are shared by VMs from different applications, and these applications may have different power requirements. So you cannot simply just cap a server or a blade cluster in hardware because it won't be able to differentiate between different applications running on the same physical hardware. So this leads to our first challenge. So there is a disconnect between the physical layout and the logical layout of your application in a data center. So consider the two figures on the slide. So on the left-hand slide is, for example, if you want to do existing hardware capping method, which is unaware of applications. And on the right-hand of the slide is what ideally what we want, which is to have an application-aware capping. So if we start capping the power of a server, with existing hardware capping, it will affect all of the VMs without differentiation in that server. And what we want is to be application aware. So there may be cases where we want to just cap one of the VMs and not the other VMs. And second, the next challenge is that in a data center, there is actually multidimensionality in controlling power because there are actually multiple control knobs that are available to us. So for example, if we consider DVFS, which is dynamic voltage frequency scaling, and VM CPU time cap. So if you look at this figure over here, the instances of the markers of the same type of markers correspond to the same DVFS frequency setting. And within that markers, with the same marker, it corresponds to different CPU time cap that you allocate to the VM. And if we, for example, if we wanted to cap to 2 watts of power, our VM to 2 watts, what happens is that depending on the combination of knobs that you use, there are different performance implications. So there is a performance gap at the same power level. And the third challenge that this paper tries to address is that there is actually dynamic power proportions in a data center. So this is due to the fact that the input workload to your applications, the volume and the behavior changes over time. So the effect of this is that the proportion of power among application and among application tiers, the power that they need, also changes over time. So for example, if we consider a two-tiered application with a front end and a back end tier, so it may be the case that under low workload, your front end server only needs 50 watts, let's say, and your back end tier needs 80 watts to do some low I/O and some disk spinning. But it may be the case that on higher workload, where your application has to do lots of CPU computations, that the front end now needs more power than your back end tier. So in this work, we introduced virtualized power shifting, or VPS for short. It is a power budgeting system for virtualized infrastructure. So VPS addresses the three challenges that we mentioned previously. And it does this by being application aware. So it is able to differentiate between different application power requirements. For example, interactive applications are not affected during capping. It is also able to shift power dynamically as the workload changes. It is able to distribute the power among application and application tiers for best performance. It is also able to exploit the information that is available, the performance information, and if there are multiple power control knobs available, it is able to use that to able to select the optimal operating point within that power budget given to the system. So to be application aware, so VPS is composed of multiple different types of controllers. So we follow the application layout of the application in a data center. So we call it application aware hierarchy. So at the top level, we have a data center controller that receives the data center power budget. And then the data center controller uses this information to divide the power budget among the applications in the data center. And then an application level controller uses this information, this application power budget, to further distribute the power to each of its components or tiers. And then going down the hierarchy, the tier level controller is the one that's responsible for controlling the actual virtual machines in part of its tier to track the tier power budget. So now I'm going to talk about in detail like the different types of controllers available in VPS. So at the top level controller, the purpose of it is to determine the amount of power for each application. However, one of the issues is that you can't simply do static allocation of power among applications because, as I mentioned before, the workloads are very dynamic, so the power usage is dynamic too. And if you do static allocation, there will be lots of unused power, and which will be just wasted. And also, in a data center, you have other components that you can't really assign to a particular application. So the data center must compensate for this hidden power levels that are shared in the shared infrastructure. So our solution for the top level controller is to use a feedback controller, PID specifically. It is able to adapt to dynamic workloads and power. So what it first does is it first estimates the uncontrollable power by subtracting the sum of the application power by the total data center power measured. So this is your estimated uncontrollable power. And then the top level controller uses this information to output the total application budget that can be allocated for the next time step. So now that we have the total application budget for the next time step, we have to decide like how do we distribute this power among all of the applications. So what we did is we used a weighted fare sharing policy. So for each application in a data center, we give an initial budget. So it can be from anything. So in our case, we simply did like the 99th percentile of an application's max power from its power profile. And in each, by priority level, we allocate power needed to each application, only up to its initial budget. And if there is not enough power, we allocate the proportion via weighted fair sharing. And similarly, if there is excess power, we also allocate the proportions via weighted fair sharing. So now that we have the application power budget, so the application level controller needs to decide like how much to allocate to each tier. And again, with prior works, what they have done is they try to learn models of power ratios among tiers a priori. But the issue here is that your workload is very dynamic. So this means that your model has to change. And it also depends on the control knobs that you use. And the application behavior itself may change over time. So ideally, what we want is to be able to dynamically tune the power allocations without relying on learned models. And one of the observations that we made is that, like in, for example, in the figure here, application tiers are usually arranged in a pipeline manner. So if you throttle the power of one tier, it will affect the other tiers naturally. So our solution is, again, to use a PID controller. It has this feedback mechanism. So we measure the total application power usage, but we only control one tier. Since we're only controlling one tier, but we measure all the power usage of all the tiers, it will automatically achieve the right proportions among all of the tiers. And finally, at the lowest level, we have a tier-level controller. And to recap, it tracks a tier power budget by controlling VM power usage. So this is the layer where we control the power, use the control knobs to control the VM power usage. And as I've mentioned before, there are lots of control knobs available. And in our work, we use DVFS and VM CPU time allocations as knobs. But it should also be mentioned that if there are other knobs available, for example, to control, to throttle disk or network, then it will be easy to apply that to our framework. And since this is the layer where we actually control the power, there are multiple trade-offs that exist that, depending on how you design this tier-level controller with respect to the accuracy, the speed, and the models that you need for your system, and the amount of application information that you need. So in this work, we study three design options. So the first option that we studied is the open loop control. So it relies on a power model to convert the power budget, the tier power budget, to the control knob settings. So the advantage of this is that it's easy and instantaneous. It does not require visibility into application performance, but it does not compensate for errors. So you need an accurate power model in this case. So to deal with errors in your model, so we started to explore a different type of controller. So again, we explored the PID controller. So in this case, a PID controller relies on real-time measurements to tune power settings to compensate for errors. But the disadvantage of this is that it is much slower than an open-loop controller because it needs time to converge. And PID only works with single type of control knob, so you will not be able to optimize for performance for each of your application. But since VPS, we want to also have the feature of optimizing performance, so we further studied or explored a different type of controller. So this led us to a model predictive control, or MPC for short. So as MPC, it is able to optimize for performance using multiple power control knobs. And basically, it uses a cost function that consists of an error term and a performance term. And this is what makes it different from the other options, because it has this performance term. So this allows us to be able to optimize for performance. But an MPC, since it has this performance term, it now requires application performance measurements to be available. It also requires system models that relate the control knobs to the system states. So as a summary of the design options that we considered, so we considered the three controllers. So an open loop controller is fast, but it needs power models and can give you higher error if your model is not accurate. A PID controller can give you lower error, but it can't optimize for performance and it is much slower. An MPC controller is able to optimize for performance, but it needs system models and performance measurements. So to implement the VPS controllers, we implement them as a network services running on the root VM on each of the servers. So they are actually sharing the physical server of the other VMs hosting the applications. Our testbed consists of 17 quad-core servers. And the VMs of each applications are mixed across the physical servers. And we measured the VM power usage using joule meter. And the hardware power is measured using WhatsApp Pro meters. So we, in our experiment evaluation, we have two types of applications. So the first application is an interactive type of application. So we use a stock trader application. It is an open source, multi-tiered cluster web application benchmark. So we have three instances of this, each composed of multiple VMs. And we set two as high priority applications. And then we have a background application. So we just use SPECCP 2006 benchmark. And we set that as a low priority application. And again, this application, we run it on multiple VMs spread out across the data center. And for our interactive application, we use the Microsoft Data Center traces as input to simulate realistic workloads that vary over time. So to evaluate our system, the first metric that we're interested in is how much total budgeting error do we get when we run this controller. So we also implemented another type of controller that is comparable to existing techniques, which we labeled as physical hierarchy controller. So it is unaware of the application layout. It just simply follows the hierarchy of your data center. So we define error as the overshoot error, or more specifically, it is the excess power consumed above the assigned budget, normalized by the power budget. So as you can see, with VPS, it can give comparable low errors compared to the physical hierarchy controllers. And in fact, it gives you slightly less error. So now we want to also study like how each of our controllers is able to enforce the application power budget. And as you can see, PID and MPC is able to give us low power errors, application power errors. But with an open loop controller, specifically for the low application labeled low 2, it gives a high error. And this can be attributed to, as I mentioned before, an open loop controller requires an accurate model. So it may be the case that for this application, the model is not as accurate as what we want it to be. And so VPS is designed to respect application priorities and quality of service constraints in a shared infrastructure. So one thing that we want to measure is can our controller be able to do power differentiation between different priorities of application? So as you can see, the PID and MPC controller is able to do appropriate application differentiation. But with physical hierarchy controller, since it's unaware of the layout of the application, so regardless of whether it's a high or low priority application, the reduction of power is approximately close enough to each other. So it's not able to differentiate the power appropriately. And finally, we also wanted to see like whether if there are information given to us, application performance information, whether our controller is able to optimize for performance. So we wanted to compare MPC and PID. So the graph here, or the the figure here, it shows the performance of a low priority application that was capped during most of its runtime. So as you can see with an MPC marked with the black line, it gives you lower response time, which is good, and at the same time, a higher throughput compared to a PID. So in conclusion, VPS is a power budgeting system for virtualized data center. The hierarchy of control follows the application layout, so it is able to respect application priorities and application VM boundaries. It is able to optimize for application performance given a power budget. It can dynamically adjust the power proportions, and if there are multiple control knobs, it is able to exploit that. Thank you.
Yes, I'm Sergey Blagodorov from Simon Fraser. So if I understood your work correctly, what you do is that, well, you have this power budget and you have this workload and they're dynamically changed. And well, let's say when workload is dynamically changed, you can definitely allocate the fixed power budget to it the way you described. So let's say that you have the Varian power supply, right? Alternative sources of energy, all of this stuff, solar, it's not, you cannot get it the entire day, you can get it just during the light and stuff like that. So let's say you have the Varian power supply and you need to now spread this power budget to the constant workload just to make the task simpler. So in this case, sometimes you need to decide what to shut down, right? Because you don't have enough power sometimes. So the question is, do you consider some kind of prioritization for the workload, right? Do you consider that sometimes maybe some workload, like transactional, is more important than, for example, batch or something like that?
So yes, so we are able to consider the priorities between applications, and our framework supports, like, if the overall power budget for the data center changes, for example, I change from some random number, like from X to X minus 20,
right?
It should be able to handle that, but as you mentioned, like, there are cases where you want to do shutdown of a server. One, we started exploring that, but one challenge there is that shutting down a server takes time. So there is a big latency to shut down a server, yeah. And you have to migrate the VMs to that, to properly migrate and schedule VMs. So one issue that to deal with that is to consider that issue too. And we haven't really considered shutting down.
It's just one of advice, just consider not even without shutting down servers, just like try to spread the power to more important workloads, because
yes,
it does matter in data centers. Just try to for transactional more power, for example, for batch less or something like that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So that's definitely possible.
Hi, Bhuvan Urgaonkar, Penn State. Just a clarification first. Are you trying to achieve power budgets at the granularity of a virtual machine?
Yes. Well, at the granularity of an application,
yes.
But we track power at the granularity of the virtual machines.
Okay, so let's just assume an application which is just a single virtual machine. In which case, would you be trying to achieve a power budget for that single virtual machine?
Yes.
So let's think about a server where multiple virtual machines have been co-located. How are you going to, how do you do the accounting? How do you?
So basically, we use joule meter.
Because there are lots of shared resources, right? For example,
yes.
Let's just take the disk.
So there is a prior work that we use. I think it was presented last year. It's called joule meter.
I see.
So joule meter allows us to get the actual VM power measurement.
Right.
The power consumption.
Is there a notion of how much error there could be in this accounting itself?
How much error?
Because you would have to compare,
yes,
your
so basically
result with some notion of a ground truth.
Yeah. So joule meter is able to adapt, so it's able to learn this on the fly.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. But it's outside of the focus of this work.
Yeah, I guess my question was quite related in the sense that how do you know the accuracy? So for all of this to work, your accurate VM accounting of the power has to be very accurate, right? So which means if your model is off and you're accounting power incorrectly, because VM1 plus VM2 will still add up to the total power of the system.
Yes.
How?
So, okay. Yeah. So that's why we have this, I mentioned the uncontrollable power. So in a way, that also compensate for the error in the measurements of the VM. So that's why when we, before we give the total budget for the next time step, we first subtract this uncontrollable power. So we get the total hardware, total data center measurements, and then subtract the our measured application power. And then that is the uncontrollable power. And then we take that into account for the next time step on how much we can allocate.
That's fine. And then just I'll take it offline. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's thank the speaker again.